accountability to the people. This is Jim Hightower saying, Holy Thomas Paine! To fight this establishment of secret government, go to www.stoptpp.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
It is Monday. Time is 5:32. You're listening to Say Hey on KZFR, your only locally produced sports talk radio program. Jake, back this week along with Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I was at opening day last week.
Yes.
And
good excuse to be away.
They got shut out.
They haven't been scoring a lot of runs any day.
We'll get to that. But the ceremony was really great. That was why we were there, you know. Want to see the flag get raised. It was really cool.
Right on.
But
Madison Bum, trotting around
the bum
on the horse.
Trotting around on the horse. Yeah. Marshall Tucker Band playing his theme song. It was pretty cool. Thanks to my brother for getting tickets, by the way. But you know what? We got things to talk about. It's playoff season, Noobs.
Yes, it is.
It's playoff season. And
finally here.
It's finally here after, you know, the NBA season, much like Major League Baseball. By the end of it, you're like, okay, let's get the playoffs going.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Warriors kicked it off with their first game on Saturday, and they get the win over the Pelicans. They had a 25-point lead at one point,
yeah,
which they kind of in somewhat – it kind of seems like typical fashion. The Warriors, they tend to take their foot off the gas a little bit because they run out to these gigantic leads
yeah.
in, say, like the third quarter. And then it'll kind of close back up, and oftentimes they'll widen it again. I mean, you don't win 67 games by accident, but they do at times, you know, ease off a bit once the subs come in. And then, you know, Anthony Davis got red hot down the stretch, had a huge fourth quarter. So
the kid's phenomenal.
He is amazing. We'll touch on that here in a minute. So a good win over any playoff team, always, but if the Warriors jump back out to another big lead tonight, I think you'll look to see them really keep the pressure on as opposed to pulling back a bit.
Right.
What were your takeaways from game one?
You know, honestly, I'm looking at some of the stat lines here for the Pelicans. Gosh, I keep wanting to say the Hornets.
I know.
You know,
Pelicans
stuck in there. But, you know, they shot really well, especially from three. You know, 41%, that's pretty good. Like you said, Anthony Davis had a great stat line. He was 13-23 from the floor. He hit 9 out of 10 free throws,
yep.
which is great for a big man.
And perhaps biggest of all for the Warriors is they did not shoot free throws well that game.
No, they didn't. They missed a bunch. They missed like 9 free throws, I think.
Even guys like Steph and Clay, which is, I mean, that's bizarre.
Yeah, they each missed 3. You know, Steph was actually only 4-13 from 3.
Right.
So, honestly, if he has one of those nights that he's capable of having,
mm-hmm.
you know, they win that game by 20 points.
But they were moving the ball around so well that
they looked phenomenal.
They just had a little bit of a layoff in the fourth.
Yeah.
Let's check out a highlight actually from that game. This is one from early in the contest when they went on a little 10-0 run to get things going in the first quarter, and Oracle was feeling the flow.
Barnes will take it the front court to Curry. Deep three right side. Got it! And the first standing ovation of the playoffs happens with 8:25 to go in the first quarter.
Beautiful, beautiful. Steph Curry getting it going early. And Monty Williams had a funny comment today about Oracle being too loud. And he didn't mean it in the sense that we think that there's music and crowd noise pumped in to, say, Seattle. he meant that he just thought people were too loud, and that it was and that it should be illegal, and that the competition committee should take a look at how loud it gets in there.
He actually said that?
Yeah, and I think it was maybe slightly tongue in cheek.
He had to have been facetious.
He referenced some pregame music. Where people were like dancing around to old school hip hop, and he was like, "These people are crazy," and but I just thought it was kind of funny. Like, obviously, the competition committee is not going to look at that.
No,
and yes, Oracle is loud. That's just the way it is, and it'll get louder. I mean, it was going crazy in game one, but that's nothing. There will be much, much more of that to come.
Oh, I know, and especially the further and further they get in the playoffs. I mean, right. It's just going to get zanier in that building. And, I mean, I love it. I love listening to a basketball game and hearing a crowd go nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching a little bit of the Hawks game.
Yeah.
And it was like you could hear a pin drop in that place.
Oh, terrible fans.
Terrible fans. And it's like you're talking about the number one team in the East, the best shot the Hawks have ever had to win a championship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's just like you can't even – I mean, they're up by 13, and it's like it's dead in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean – give me the Warriors crowd any day.
Oh yeah, it's an crowd. You know, it's just a lot of fun.
And if the guy, the music director, if he's got him pumped up, then so be it.
Good job. Exactly. Now let's talk Anthony Davis for a minute. He is that next generational player. He's gonna be that guy.
Yeah,
he is so good. Mm-hmm. He can do everything.
Yeah,
and this one reason I was excited that they got in and the Thunder didn't was to see Anthony Davis, to have him kind of step into the national spotlight.
Absolutely.
A bit. This is going to be his coming out party. No matter whether the series goes seven or they get swept, people are going to get to see, because they never get put on national television.
No, I was just going to say.
Because they're not a major market team.
It's ridiculous. With as terrible as the Lakers were this year.
And the Knicks.
You know, ESPN and TNT should be ashamed of themselves for not putting New Orleans on TV more.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's totally embarrassing, because this guy's the real deal. And he plays the game the right way.
He's the best center in the league.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he does everything. He shoots free throws, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
which is a lost art for everybody now.
Yeah.
Never mind just big men.
He's a quadruple double threat
any
night of the week.
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to be enough to overcome the Warriors.
No. They just don't have anything on the bench, really.
No. Although the Pelicans, to be honest, I think they're more dangerous than... right now, the way Portland and Memphis are both playing, and even Dallas, I think the Pelicans are a pretty tough team coming into the playoffs. They just happen to draw the one seed.
They're not more dangerous than Memphis.
You don't think so?
No way.
Not Memphis, with the way Memphis played down the stretch?
Yeah, they played poorly down the stretch, but I mean, they were up by 25 at one point or something.
I think Memphis is beating up on a very beleaguered Portland team.
Yeah, no, I mean, Portland has no business being in the fourth seed at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, according to record, they had the sixth best record in the West, but because of the quirky little rule, if you win your division, you get guaranteed a top four seed.
Yeah.
Even though they're not getting home court in this series, which is justified because the Grizzlies had four more regular season wins.
Right.
But Memphis is going to handle them. And I think Golden State's in for a rough road against Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol.
My prediction, especially the way Golden State rolled in and dismantled Memphis in the road game this latter portion of the season, is that the Warriors will have a more difficult time with New Orleans than they will with Memphis. And I wouldn't have said that early in the season, but I just was not impressed with the way Memphis finished the season. And unless they gain a lot of steam beating up on Portland, I think the Warriors will come in and show them a thing or two.
I will be willing to wager a hard or a soft drink on that.
A hard or a soft drink?
Yes.
So you're seeing more like Warriors Grizzlies going 6-7?
6-7, where this is going to be over in 5.
Okay. All right.
6 at the most, if New Orleans somehow wins both their home games.
That's fair. I do think that, looking at the Clipper-Sacramento series.
Memphis is very, very experienced. A lot of veteran leadership.
They are.
A lot of playoff experience on that team. Sorry to interrupt you, but
no.
Just that's to me the huge difference between them and this New Orleans team. New Orleans is going to be great in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But they just don't have enough experience right now.
I'm just a big believer in momentum going into the postseason, which they could make up for if they whoop up on the Blazers, which maybe they will, because it kind of looked like that in game one.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Maybe Memphis comes in with a much bigger head of steam than I give them credit for in round two. But the Clippers, you talk about a head of steam, that was like a statement win.
Yeah.
I don't really like using that phrase, but that looked like a statement to me.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
They ran him out of the building pretty much.
Because all anybody talks about these days is how Chris Paul and Blake Griffin don't get along.
Right.
And they were seen yelling at each other in the middle of a 30-point victory last night of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know they've been talking about how they don't get along and they haven't gotten along for years. You know, and the Clippers are always underachievers. I think that they've got a legitimate shot to win it all.
Well, and we also get caught up in the Spurs, you know, as we should.
Because they've played phenomenally down the stretch. They almost got the second seed.
Yeah, how can you not? You know, they're favorites in a 3-6 on the road, the Spurs are.
Well, see, that's the thing, that this shouldn't be a 3-6 because of that stupid rule. This really should be like a 3. They shouldn't even be playing, honestly. San Antonio should be the 4 or 5.
Right. But after watching Game 1, and obviously Game 1s are not the end-all, be-all.
No.
It certainly did look like the Clippers have something to say about not being favored in this series.
For sure.
So would it surprise you if the Clippers took down the Spurs?
No, not at all. Because this is kind of the Spurs' MO. You know, they'll win a championship, and you know, but they'll also go out in the first round like they did to Memphis a couple of years, and that was in the 1-8 slot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a much bigger upset. No, the Clippers got home court. They've got some really, really hungry guys. You know, guys that have been battling in the playoffs the last couple of years. Chris Paul gets really not as much respect as I think he should in the best point guard in the league debate.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's not as flashy and he doesn't play with the kind of reckless abandon that, say, Russell Westbrook plays with.
He's also – the whole team is a team of villains in a way.
They are.
Because of the way they flop, because of the way they complain to the officials.
Yeah.
They're not very easy to like unless you're a Clipper fan. They complain a lot.
True.
And when you assume that role – you're going to get a little less, you know, national, I don't want to say respect, but just people don't want to like you.
No, but they also, they never really don't like someone that they don't fear mm-hmm. or respect in a way. You know what I mean? Like, nobody would hate the Clippers if they were terrible. People there's professional jealousy there because they are that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They also don't have a very good bench, which I think in general kind of, I don't know. If you're not a real deep team, you don't necessarily command the respect of a deep playoff run.
Mm.
You know, because look at their bench. Reddick's okay. Austin Rivers is
playing better now. He's playing under his father.
But still, I mean, Glenn Davis, big baby. That guy shouldn't even be in the league at this point.
Well,
he's like a 4-1 rebound guy with Flop City all over him.
I just, you know, I got to give the credit to Doc Rivers, though, because he's taken this roster, and you know he got them almost to the 2. I think they finished with Houston. Houston had the tiebreaker over them.
And their starting five is
phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
You know, and if DeAndre Jordan can stay on the court, if they don't just play, you know, hack a shack on him,
mm-hmm.
Which I think Popovich started to do, and then I think they turned around and fouled one of his guys, and that kind of put the kibosh on that. But, you know, I like LA's chances. I really do.
No, they're good. I look at the Houston series, and I don't see any way Dallas wins that. I don't see that happening.
I mean, Rondo's just going to have to play out of his mind.
Yeah.
Which I just don't think he's capable of doing.
He didn't show any of that.
And I love Nowitzki, and I love his fight, but I just don't think they have enough pieces.
No.
You know, I think Carlisle's, you know, maybe besides Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle might be the third best coach in the league. Nothing against Kevin McHale, but I'm thinking Carlisle's going to outcoach him. But I just think, you know, McHale's got too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got James Harden, you know, arguably the player of the year. A healthy Dwight Howard, you know.
Yeah,
they've lost a couple guys in their rotation for the year, but they still seem pretty strong.
My round two bracket goes Warriors Memphis, and then Clippers Houston, and then in the conference finals Warriors Clippers. That's kind of, it's almost wishful in my thinking because I love that Warriors Clippers rivalry.
Oh yeah,
I'd really like to see a conference finals like that.
Yep,
even more than the Warriors, you know, getting a shot to dethrone the Spurs or whatever. Warriors Clippers would be really, really fun.
Yeah, either way, if they play, you know, either one of those teams, that'll be the team that knocked them out the last 2 years.
Right.
Between LA and San Antonio.
That's exactly right.
So either way, I think they're going to be licking their chops.
Yeah.
There seems to be a little bit more animosity with LA.
Definitely.
Even though they're in the division, and basketball division rivalries don't really mean that much because you play each other 4 times, and you play the other divisions 4 and 3 times too. So it's not like in baseball,
uh-huh.
you know, where you play a team 19 times,
right.
You know, which is, you know, double more than you play anybody else in any other division. So, but there is a hatred there between these guys.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can feel it. I mean, the last couple times that they've played, guys have been, you know, bumping each other in post-game interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there's definitely some animosity of who's the best team in California, who's the best team in the West Coast.
Yep.
And I think that'll be a phenomenal series if it comes down to it.
Yeah, I'm hoping for it. And no disrespect to Houston, but I don't really think they're that good when facing up against the best in the West. I
agree.
Yeah.
I think they're probably the fourth best team.
Uh-huh.
Fourth or fifth, actually. I actually think Memphis might be better than them, honestly. I think San Antonio's better. They're definitely better than Portland. But
yeah,
having the number two seed, it'll be beneficial because they won't have to go on the road until they face Golden State if they do. But I'm with you. I think they'll get by Dallas in like six games.
Yeah.
Dallas is going to win some games in that series. For sure. Dallas has got too much veteran savvy. They're a great home team. They're going to win a couple games. They might push that to seven, actually. But, the West is just phenomenal. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time. Looking at the East, I don't really expect any big upsets. I mean, maybe Washington over Toronto, but that's a 4-5.
Yeah.
And Toronto gives up a lot of points. That's not really an upset.
No.
I still like Atlanta-Cleveland in the conference finals with Cleveland moving on.
Yeah, I think those two teams are definitely destined to meet up. Although, I think Chicago is going to give Cleveland all they can handle in round two, especially if Derrick Rose can stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, but every time he takes the floor, man, it's like, you know, it seems like he's just one rolled ankle or one twisted knee away from being out again.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to feel that way, but it's like I look at him.
That's true.
It's just like I cringe.
Yeah.
Because you know, I don't want him to get hurt.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like we say, for every Grant Hill who somehow got healthier as he got older, there's a million Greg Odens. You know, like.
Right.
The more you get injured, the more likely you are to get injured again.
Again.
You know, and
that's
it's just a matter of time.
That's why I'm very concerned about Kevin Durant's injury.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be horrible for the league if he were somehow, you know.
Well, they really screwed up in trying to get him back this season.
For sure.
That was really stupid. I mean, that just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, in a year where it just didn't look like you're going to get the seeding you needed anyway. To try and rush him back to have him be out for another, 9 months or something?
Yeah, it was a mistake, and they didn't even make the playoffs anyway.
No.
And I think this might actually hasten his exit. He's an unrestricted free agent, I believe, after next season.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Westbrook's contract is up pretty soon. The Thunder could be back in the basement here within a couple of years.
It could happen. It'll be really interesting because, you know, Durant, not to get off on an aside, but he's not a big media guy, as we know. He has kind of battled with them in OKC, and that's Oklahoma City. That's not like the most critical eye in the media world.
No, but all those times, those were around like All-Star games. Those were national media encounters that wound up turning sour. He's not getting roasted by like the Tulsa Tribune or whatever. You know, if he goes to LA,
I could not see him in a place like LA.
No,
I just don't see that.
Although, you know. I'd love to see him come to Boston,
or New York, or
wishful
something.
Wishful thinking, but you know, he's such a good guy that I mean, he's not going to get. I mean, if he continues to play well and play like you know the number two player that he is, you know how much criticism are you going to get? He's going to get a lot more if he goes to an LA or New York or even a Washington,
big time.
But I think like Washington, it's a big city. I mean, it's the capital of our country, but I don't think that they're as hard on their athletes as
no. And the reality is, we talked about TNT and. ESPN, they don't show games of any of those teams. You know, it's like
right.
If you're not playing in LA, Boston, or New York,
or Miami,
where they only got shown because LeBron James was there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like you're pretty much nobody. I mean, the Warriors got on television a lot now because they're exciting.
They're exciting. They're fun to watch.
But I mean, for the most part, unless you're playing one of those teams. In your small market or whatever, you're not going to be on television.
Yeah.
Chicago, yeah.
They show a lot of Nets games, a lot of Bulls games.
Love to see those Nets games.
God.
Really exciting stuff.
Well, one prediction I do have in the East is that nobody's going to get swept.
Okay.
I think the Nets and the Celtics will both at least win a game.
That's fair enough. Yeah. You know, let's shift. We got about 10 more minutes here on Say Hey. I'm sure you guys talked a little baseball last week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always kind of fun to get into trends in week two because the first week, it feels like a football season, the first week of baseball, where every game is like this huge thing. Like, oh, my God, this is this is a microcosm of the whole season.
Right.
And then soon after your team is playing 14 games in 14 days,
you calm down a little bit.
Okay, there's a long way to go. But what's interesting about early portions of the baseball season is that trends aren't really trends unless you expected them to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's say, for example, the Nationals are off to a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals are really good. That slow start is going to start
work
to,
itself
to
out.
Dissipate.
Yeah.
Atlanta's off to a hot start.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to win 90 games.
My dark horse is looking good.
The Mets' dark horse pick is looking good.
Very good.
Are the Mets going to win 110 games
negative.
Like they're on a pace? No.
But so they could make the wild
card. Yeah, things like that. The Rockies, for example, they're not going to win 95 games.
No. The offense is looking good, but like you said, over the course of the next 140 games or whatever.
Yeah. Somebody's, Tulowitzki, Cargo, they both get hurt. Their pitching fizzles out. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, let's look at two teams we like. The Giants, we know they're going to have a hard time scoring runs coming into the season. They're third in the NL bottom, third worst in the NL in runs scored. That's a trend that we expected. You can expect that to continue.
Yeah.
They're going to get on base and hit a lot of singles. They're not going to drive in a lot of runs.
And
so showing what they're showing now, expect more of that.
I agree. And even when Hunter Pence comes back, I mean, that'll be a nice little jolt to the lineup.
But
don't miracles.
Don't expect them to somehow start scoring 6 or 7 runs a game.
No, we both knew this coming in. The Giants are just not going to be very good this year.
No. I mean, they were, and we'll get into more of that in a second. Another little trend, the Red Sox have the second worst ERA in the American League.
Yeah.
We knew the Red Sox were going to have trouble keeping runs off the board. They're going to score a lot of runs to balance that out. They have scored the most runs in baseball.
But their run differential is only +5.
Yeah.
But
so
they're 8-5. So
there's another
games.
Trend. You can expect the Red Sox to compete in these high-scoring close games and then have these games where, they have a random day where they don't score and they get blown out 9-1 or whatever.
Yeah. Now look at the A's, though. They have one of their, like last year, they just came out of the gate scoring a bunch of runs. They're +24.
Yeah.
They're 6-7.
Yeah, that whole division right now, nobody's shown who's going to be who. It's going to be other than the Rangers, I think we can agree, are not going to be a threat. But
how about Houston?
Houston, we knew they'd be a little better.
Yeah.
Playing .500 ball to start the year. That Kansas City series for Oakland was really heated over the weekend, if anybody caught that, with Brett Lowry taking out the shortstop with the cleats up, slide, spikes up, then getting drilled the next day, then that continuing to Sunday, Herrera throwing 100 miles an hour behind his back, benches clear again. That's all of a sudden become like a cool little rivalry.
Do you think that's leftover animosity from the wild card game last year?
No, actually, because the Royals won that game, and the A's have like a whole team of new players.
Yeah.
So Lowry wasn't even on the team.
Right.
He just made the mistake of going spikes up and hurting their shortstop.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I didn't mean to. It's like, well, tough. I mean, if you punch somebody in the face, maybe you didn't mean to break their nose, but you decided to punch them in the face.
No, and that's baseball. I mean, the same thing happened to Pablo Sandoval this weekend against Baltimore. He went in and broke up a double play, and he got plunked by Ubaldo Jimenez.
Yeah, and when Lowry got plunked the next day, he walked down to first base like he should have, saying like, okay, we're even. Then the Royals took it up a notch the next day, threw at him again, 100 miles an hour behind his back. See, that's where it goes too far.
Yeah.
That's where you're like, okay, this is now tilting to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly exciting. Can't wait till they play in Oakland. That'll be fun.
For sure.
The Giants are 4-10. They got the red-hot Dodgers coming in. Their slumping bats will not unslump against Greinke and Kershaw. I'm going to make that bold prediction.
Well, Kershaw has not started out as well.
He hasn't, but still. I have a feeling he's got a pretty good shot at getting off the schneid against the Giants. One point I wanted to make about the Giants is that, okay, so last year they got off to that screaming red-hot start where they were the best team in baseball through May, and then they just fell off the cliff.
Mm.
And they played just well enough at the very end of the year
to get to,
I think, 88 wins and to get into that second spot. And once you get into the playoffs in any sport, especially in baseball, wipe the slate clean. If you can ride your big dog, you can win it all. And that's what they did. The reality is they brought back virtually the same team, only losing power out of the lineup and an older pitching staff in Hudson, in Peavy, you know, Lincecum not Kane coming back from surgery. A pitching staff that, aside from Bumgarner, has gotten older, a rotation, and less effective. They have the same team with less offense. This is what you have. I mean, yeah, it seems like, well, we just won the World Series with most of these guys. But you got to the playoffs based off of what you did in the early portion of last year.
Right.
The rest of that season, they were not the same team other than October when they turned it on and they won it. So you're pretty much, you have this team that you had mid-season last year with less pop, an older rotation.
And without the head start.
And injuries.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see them just popping out of this tailspin.
No.
You know? I just don't see it.
I don't either.
And you can't win the World Series or the division in April, but you can certainly lose it. And with the way the Dodgers are playing and the Padres looking to, in fact, be very much improved like we thought.
For sure.
If they finish this month, let's say, 9 games out of first and second, they're going to be really hard-pressed to come anywhere near making a push for the second wild card. You can totally take yourself out of it in April.
Yeah, and then so what does that mean for like the midseason trade deadline? Does that mean that they get rid of, like, are they going to be sellers?
I don't know. It's a little early to think, but it just doesn't. It's not a good start.
Yeah,
it's a very ominous start to a season where you're already like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Giants fan, though, you know, just pop in some of those DVRs from last October.
It's true. Yeah, write it off as an odd year and hope for 2016. A's fans, though, have got to be pleasantly surprised, I think, because so many question marks coming in with just the completely new roster.
Yeah,
they definitely look competitive, like we thought they would be. No front runner yet, but the A's are going to compete. I think we can say that much.
Yeah, I mean, earlier when we did our preview, you know, I was thinking Seattle 1, LA 2. But now, you know, I mean, I think like
it's early. It's so early.
Oh, it's so early. Like you were saying about the Nationals, you know, like they're going to work out those kinks and they're going to wind up being a 90-win team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can say the same for Seattle right now.
Hard to say.
You know, but, you know, who is it? Cruz that's got 8 home runs right now?
Yeah, he's off to a red hot start.
Red hot start. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting in the West, in the American League West this year. I don't know if we're going to have anybody that runs away with it. We might have a bunch of teams kind of hovering around 500.
Yeah. And that's why it feels like it's anyone's game to an extent. And I just think it would be kind of interesting if the Mariners were to get back to the postseason. So I like picking the Mariners, even though they're not like clearly the front runner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to say, all right, all these teams are pretty balanced. I want the Mariners to win the division.
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason why I picked the White Sox, not because I want them to, but just because I was tired of picking Detroit.
look how that worked out. Yeah, right. They're not looking too hot. The Royals, though, I am happy to see are also playing good baseball. And,
yes.
Of course, Detroit is playing wonderful. Cespedes looks really good in a Tiger uniform right now.
And you got to feel bad for Kansas City because after that phenomenal run they made, you still had this kind of – there was this air of like that they had to somehow – validate themselves
which isn't fair because
it's not fair.
I think they have a good team.
They do.
You know? Like they have a great bullpen. They've got a really good starting staff.
For sure.
They've got a really high on base percentage. They have team speed. All these things stayed the same.
Like and they didn't with more power this
they
year.
They didn't get old
no.
you know in the offseason.
No.
So there's no reason to think that the Royals aren't going to compete all year.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that.
Absolutely.
So it's an exciting start to the season as it always is. And all this basketball end of the program notes, the Sharks part ways with Todd McClellan after many years. And whereas the Harbaugh thing wasn't mutual in San Francisco, this probably is because I think McClellan wanted out. He's been through the ringer with this team, not getting it done in the playoffs, and then this totally bizarre 2014-15 season where Doug Wilson just did a very poor job in the offseason after the collapse to the Kings. The Sharks are a mess. Doug Wilson was quoted today as the Sharks are, quote, trending upward. No, they're not.
No.
No, they are not trending upward at all. They're trending down. So it's not a fun time for Sharks fans. And I know we didn't talk a lot of Sharks hockey this season because, quite frankly, they weren't very interesting. And they rank a little bit lower on on our personal rank of, you know, I consider hockey as my fourth. I don't know about you.
Four out of four
majors. Of the majors, which I still love. So in a way, we're just kind of piling on because we didn't talk about him much during the regular season. But
they didn't really give us that much to talk about.
You know, they're a pretty uninteresting team this year.
You know, McClellan did make the playoffs 6 out of 7 years.
He's going to get snapped up in a second.
For sure.
He's a great coach.
As a franchise, they've only missed the playoffs like twice since 94, I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a franchise that's used to going to the playoffs.
And the NHL playoffs are currently underway.
They are.
And they're always exciting, no matter who is playing.
For sure.
So do check out NBC Sports if you got cable, because they've got stuff